John Ravetta on what I'm getting, Wednesday, July 18th. Do you want at the beginning or end tell your name, what you do, who you work for, briefly why you got into this job, maybe not your whole life history, but just...
My name is Irene Collier, and I work for the Christman Company, and I am, depending on what they decide to call me, I'm either a project secretary or an administrative professional or whatever, and it is my choice. I go from job to job, and so the job has to be a big job, which is what I like.
What's a big job mean?
A big job is at least 20 million.
And what's this job?
Lots of millions. Okay. Many more than that.
Okay. Snyder Phillips renovations,
yeah.
Big one.
Okay. It's big.
Okay.
Actually, dollar-wise, this is the biggest project I've been on, and maybe it is the biggest project I've been on. And I work for anywhere from probably the shortest time was 8 months on the city center in East Lansing. The longest time was a couple of years on some schools that we did. I've been here 14 months, and we'll probably be here another 4 or 5 months.
So 18 months for this job.
Yeah.
And so Christman won the bid, or was it the only bidder?
No. Christman is a competitive bid, and Christman was chosen to do this job. And actually, Christman began to work. This job has what we call a 204 number, meaning that it was begun, the work on it was begun in 2004. It did not go to the field until 2006. So for 2 years after the award of the job, it was in a planning process.
Wow.
And actually, this is a very complex job because we've talked about that before, that this is not only renovation, but it's also restoration and new construction.
Now, does that mean different kinds of companies for subcontractors?
That does. That means different kinds of companies for subcontractors, different expertise, different work categories, what we call work categories.
Go right ahead.
Good afternoon. This is company. You know what? You're totally coming out on me. Are you in the building? Okay. I can't hear you at all. Do you want me to call you? Yeah, you're still garbled. Shall I call you back? No. I can hear you say, "Can you hear me?" But well, just tell me what you need. The guy is interviewing me right now. How long are you going to be? Oh, call Terry. Okay. It requires different, for example, there is a company called Tobin's Lake Sales that is doing the theatrical stuff, and that's not something that we normally do. It happens that we did do that at Perry School, so I know the guy, but it's a pretty narrow, you know, there's always going to be masons, always going to be drywallers, that sort of thing. Hi there.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. Is Sam around?
He is, right down the hall.
So how many subcontractors are there for the new construction, how much for the renovation, or however you divide it?
What we did is, in this particular situation, we sent this out as a package, and we said, there is all of this, are you willing to do all of this? And so we did not break it down based on renovation, that sort of thing. So there's one guy that's doing all the electrical, one company that's doing all the mechanical. There are people who are experts in their fields, but they're in what we call architectural specialties, and they're all under an umbrella from one company called Payne Rossa.
So do you don't even have a count of how many total companies there are?
I would say that there's a good 30 companies, and at any time we run, right now we're running about 140 people. We've been as high as 200 on the site.
On the whole site.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that includes everybody. That's talking about the guy who's doing the dirt work and the guy that's putting up the drywall. At any given time for the mechanical guy, there's 40, in excess of 40 people.
But that does not include the MSU employees who are cleaning up dorm rooms that aren't being renovated.
No, that is only, we only count the people that we're directly responsible for, and we're not directly responsible for them.
Okay. So how long have you been in this business yourself?
My husband and I had a general contracting business, and we did a lot of stuff in the Mid-Michigan area, a lot of mini storages and libraries and things like that. And he retired, and we still had children in college, one at Phillips, actually.
What do you mean at Phillips?
Lived in Phillips. You know, this is Snyder and Phillips. Well, he lived in Phillips.
Who's that?
My son did.
How long ago was that?
1993, and then he was a resident and assistant in 1994. So this is deja vu for me, because when he was a freshman, you can't have a car.
Okay.
And his girlfriend went to U of M, so every Friday, I would pick him up here at Phillips in the back dock. He'd come out the back door.
In 1993. Wow.
And then I would deliver him back Sunday night or Monday morning, whatever the case would be. We live in Okemos, so not very far away.
So 14 years later, you're here again.
Yeah, and not only that, but he's in the Navy. He came home at Christmas time, and we went to his room.
His old room?
This past December.
You found it?
And we found his old room. We took the little plastic tag off his room number.
What number was that?
It was 247. And because you're going to renumber all the rooms. Well, they did renumber. They have renumbered.
Okay.
And he said, well, we wrote on the ceiling, well, there's a drop ceiling, but they had gone up above and written on it. Well, that was still up there.
How much fun.
So he took pictures of it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Now, is this unusual to have so many people asking you questions about a job and taking pictures and doing audio taping of a job?
It's never happened before.
Never before.
Never.
Okay. So it's kind of different to have this attention.
This is also a different, the whole job is different in the sense that this is historic as far as I'm concerned, and St. Phillips has a great history, so this is just all a part of it.
And you've shared with me some pictures which we'll use that were of the original construction in
1947. Yeah. Snyder Phillips, Mason Abbott was built before the Second World War. Snyder Phillips really was the beginning of what was the residential, and I'm sure you know, there isn't a university in the whole United States that has as many residence halls as Michigan State does. I mean, we're huge. And Snyder Phillips was the beginning of that. And so for it to be now part of a new residential college with a state-of-the-art eating area, it's appropriate, I think. It's kind of a neat thing.
So you're pretty excited about
very excited.
What the end product's going to look like. It'll be special.
And I think it's very neat, and it's all kind of happened. I just think whoever's idea it was to do this, and the young woman that I took through this morning when we went down into the basement, she saw that auditorium, said the same thing that I always say, the use of space, you know, whoever thought of putting this in here and using this space, it's amazing. At any rate, I was very fortunate and went to work with Chrisman in 2001, and this is my fifth project, and hopefully there will be a lot more.
Now, one of the things that's fascinating if somebody is not familiar a major construction work site, whether new or reconstruction, I don't think even those that would be used to the amount of different work that's going on here right now. I mean, the different kinds of equipment and the different kinds of...
Well, there's always, on a big job site, there's always, that's always an issue. Actually, that's always a huge problem, because no trade wants to work next to, you know, they always want the space to themselves. And especially when you get to the end of a job and people are walking on top of each other, that becomes very critical. So the idea that you've got all these different trades, all these different guys doing all these different things, isn't very unusual. What is unusual is you've got guys that are working on the old and the new as well, and they're doing all that simultaneously. And you run into unique problems. They're putting in something called snow melt, which means that they don't have to shovel the walks for the sidewalks in the winter time. Well, there already is a snow melt system behind us here, and when they were excavating, they got into it. So then they had to hand chip out all that concrete because they didn't want to damage anything in hand.
So it was a surprise.
It was a surprise. And there's always surprises. Uh-huh. When they started digging down here, there were surprises. The dirt was bad. And
more surprises with renovation and new construction, probably.
Right.
Now, you've hinted at parts. Could you explain the rest of the job of the general contractor in relationship to subcontractors?
We are really not general contractors. We are construction managers. That's what we do on this job. So we manage the construction, and our allegiance is to the owner. What we are doing is representing the owner at all times and in everything that we do. So we watch the money, we watch the quality. We have all kinds of quality control things built in. We are construction managers, and
so there's others that are general contractors.
There are others that are general contractors. There are no other general contractors on the site in a large sense. In a small sense, there are some guys that do more than one thing. You know, like the mason only does masonry, and the mechanical guy only does mechanical. But there's a guy, for example, King Rosso, does what we call architectural specialties, and there would be a number of things. There might be flagpoles, and there might be little, you know, like the dryers in the bathroom and that sort of thing.
Any guess how many different trades there might be in this whole project?
We do them by work category. We start at 02 and we go to 31.
Okay.
And we didn't miss maybe but one or two, so I'd say we have in the high 20s of different work categories. 31 is the auditorium seating, 30 is the elevator, and 02 is the dirt work. No, we had a 01 and 01A. We probably have 30.
Are these the government categories we're talking about?
These are our categories. And Chrisman, if you talk about work category 02, it's always going to be the guy that does the dirt work.
Okay.
If you talk about work category 11, it's always going to be the guy that does the masonry.
Okay.
And that's how we break down.
So those aren't exactly the same as the unions would divide up the trades?
No, they aren't the same. The unions would divide the trades. Well, in a way, they are the same. When we just went through this with the unions, the work category 18 is glazing, and that is a particular union. The mechanical guys are a particular union. Work category 28 is electrical. They're a particular union. Where you get into a fuzzy area is the laborers union, because they include a big group of people that we break down further than they do.
You want to move right into that recent labor dispute? Because that kind of relates to what you're getting
at. That was
surprise.
That was something we expected to have happen last year.
Oh.
And we expected to have it happen with a different group of people.
Oh, okay.
We thought that our fire protection subcontractor, who is non-union, we thought there would be an issue with that. That never developed. It was Michigan State's decision to go ahead and award to them, even though they knew that they were non-union. But the job is prevailing wage, meaning that they have to pay union wages or better.
The only difference is they're not paying into the pension and welfare kind of.
But they have to have some sort of a pension and welfare, and they also have to have an apprenticeship program. So there really isn't a lot different in this situation with Michigan State.
So what would the, what was your understanding of what was the complaint of that union?
Our understanding is that there was no complaint, and I'll tell you why.
This was the laborers' union.
The laborers' union out of Ann Arbor decided that they were going to strike because of Ellis Cleaning Service, and there were four people. And then they, and so they made their signs up, and their signs said Ellis Cleaning Service.
Okay.
Well, then they got here and realized that Chrisman didn't hire Ellis Cleaning Service, that Michigan State did. And the unions have a no-strike thing with Michigan State, so they couldn't strike because of Ellis. So what they did is they took white paper and they whited out Ellis and they put Sanborn Construction. Now, Sanborn Construction is the dirt contractor who has been out here every single day for the last, at that point, 13 months.
Without a complaint.
Without a complaint. And has done all of the dirt site contract work for all of the union guys. The mechanical guy requires, the guy who does the heating and ventilating, requires a lot of dirt work, what we call moving dirt and sand. In fact, today again, we just said, well, you need to go into the steam tunnel and move some things around. Do you want to do it yourself or do you want Sanborn to do it? And he said, no, I have Sanborn. Mm-hmm. As far as this particular, now, I'm not saying that unions don't have legitimate reason to strike, but this particular unique situation, there was no good reason.
Well, was this a strike or an informational picket line?
It was a strike.
Okay.
And they shut us down for one whole day, which was killer, and most of the next day.
Killer in terms of the amount of lost money that you're paying wages for?
No. See, that's the other thing. They made the other unions mad because they didn't tell anybody. So these guys couldn't take their tools. They didn't know.
Okay.
So the guys lost a day's wage because they didn't get to work. See, they did it on a Thursday. They did it on a Wednesday. Well, Thursday was the day that they threw up the picket, so nobody got to work on Thursday because they couldn't cross the line to come in and get their tools to go to another job.
Okay.
And they were angry, the other union guys.
But now the ramp didn't appear that day,
the
blow-up ramp.
No, that came Friday.
And now the rant was really an informational picket rant or something, right?
You know, that is...
I'll talk to the union.
Yeah, you'll have to talk. I don't know. And the really frustrating thing, and there are a couple guys that... Well, there are a lot of guys that come up here and talk to me. But one particular... Two guys actually came, and they were very upset. And they went to the union, and they said, what is this all about? Why are you guys doing that? And their answer was, they were not at liberty to say. And the guy said, why are you striking? I'm not at liberty to say. So this is very frustrating to someone who's in another union.
Right.
To get this kind of, we don't do anything to inflame or to, we do everything that we need to do to get the people back to work. And whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, we don't say anything.
Now, to the outsider, they might see that there were lettered gates and there were names of companies on each of these gates.
That is because we set up a dual gate system.
You set up, Chrisman did.
Chrisman set it up. That's the only way that you can continue working when you have a strike. You have a dual gate system, which is something that the National Labor Relations Board devised. You have one gate, in our case the A gate, was for the non-union people, and the B gate is for the union people. And in our case, what happened, the gates got tainted, meaning a non-union person went through a union gate. Now that sounds very childish, and is very childish, in my opinion.
And then
so,
what happened?
Well, okay, to start the dual gate system, what we did, we sent to every, there are eight unions, I tell you that, that are represented by these different work categories at this site. So we sent a, we had a union letter that we sent out that said, we're establishing a dual gate system, and we sent them a map, and we said there are three ways to come in and out, and you have three B gates. We sent it UPS, so that in the old days you would do that certified mail, but now UPS is just as good because somebody has to sign for it. We faxed it to them, and then we had a letter for an individual letter to an individual person for every subcontractor. So totally, I sent out 37. So that means there's 8 unions and 29 subcontractors on this site. Mm-hmm. And to the non-union, it said, okay, here's the A gate. This is how you get in. We described it. We did that all on Thursday, and we had our gates up by the afternoon of Thursday. Some guys crossed on Friday, some guys didn't. They hassled the guys that crossed, and some guys left at noon.
Hassled meaning verbally harassed?
They verbally harassed them, right.
And that's before the rat appeared?
Well, that's right when the rat appeared.
That's right when the rat appeared, okay. And this was a big inflatable,
air blown up rat, big guy. And the funny thing about it is, if they were looking for publicity, they didn't get a lot of publicity from the general public. You know, I've been involved in two other strikes, and the first one was at City Center in the old Jacobson's, where Barnes & Noble was now. Barnes & Noble will not hire union people, and so everything that they did was non-union.
I see.
They didn't have a rap, but they had something else. And people would honk, and, you know, there was a lot of action. With this, there was nothing. I'm not sure why they did this. I don't know what they accomplished.
I'll have to talk to somebody with the labor union, I guess.
You should. And I can give you his.
Oh, would you do that?
Oh, sure. Okay. Absolutely. Well, then the gates got tainted. And we knew that they had gotten tainted. So before the union could notify us, we sent letter. We did the whole thing again and sent out all the letters again and did the whole procedure again. And then we got a letter saying, hey, your gates are tainted. We said, no, we're sorry. And at that point, we hired security. And that's when you saw the security.
Now, the security looked to be MSU students.
They were.
Okay.
And that was Michigan State's choice. We hired actual professional security for one day, for that Monday. And Michigan State said, no one's going to come on our campus and do security but us.
Uh-huh.
And so that's how that happened. And then when the gates were tainted.
Explain again what tainted means.
It means a non-union person went through a union gate. Then we began to make people sign in.
Uh-huh.
And once we did that, then we had no more problems. But it slowed things down in the morning when the guys were coming to work.
Uh-huh.
It was just a...
So what's your understanding of how... Why did it last so long, and how did, what got it settled?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I have no idea. I mean, our experience with it is that in this kind of a situation where there's not really, there's no contract, there's no, they had no legitimate complaint as I understand it. They
with Chrisman or?
With Chrisman or with really Sanborn.
Uh-huh.
We didn't expect it to go as long as it did. It went 2 weeks.
In those 2 days?
In 2 days.
Yeah.
They would have to tell you why they stopped.
In the end, did it set you back in your construction renovation or new?
It made it a little tougher getting down to the wire. Today's the wire, tomorrow's the wire. I mean, these are
what
the
What do you
last.
Mean, the wire?
We have to turn over tomorrow. We have to turn that downstairs over.
To who?
To Michigan State.
Now, who does it mean when it's Michigan State?
To Housing and Food Service.
Okay. And so there's somebody designated for the university in charge of that.
Right.
It's not really the dean of the new residential college. It's
not. It's Housing and Food Service. Right. Because the first part that's being turned over is Snyder and Phillips and the eating area, and that really only has to do with Housing and Food Service. That doesn't have to do with the new residential college.
And that's really the old dorm rooms.
The old dorm rooms.
And the connectors.
And the connectors, right. One of the issues in our meeting today was student connectors. How are we going to make students be able to go through from the second floor? It's easy on the first floor because the gallery is there, the food's there, everything's there. But in the basement and on the second and on the third floors, mm-hmm. they have to be able to go back and forth, but we don't want them in these areas. We have to be able to get workmen in here. So how do we do that?
So. You mentioned something which is fascinating. Today's Wednesday. You have a special meeting on Wednesday morning. What's that about?
We have a safety and coordination meeting on Wednesday mornings. We always go over a specific safety item. We talk about if there have been any safety issues or anything like that. And that is probably the first 5 minutes. And the rest of the meeting is coordination. And yeah, I can show you meeting minutes for the meeting today. But
who takes the minutes?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, that's part of what I do. And the other part of what, there are two really important things that I do. I do the meeting minutes. All the meetings that we have, and I do the dailies. Chrisman keeps very accurate, concise daily reports of exactly who's working, what the manpower count is, and what they did for every day.
Is that mainly for billing purposes and for payroll?
That is for history.
What do you mean?
That is for a record of the job site so that I don't want to bring up litigation because we don't just so rarely get into it. But if there were ever an issue with anything, with somebody who was billing, overbilling, we could say, well, you didn't start. Oh, I'll give you a prime example. The elevator people said, look, if you have somebody else do our cleanup, we will give you operation hours at the end of the job. We'll operate the elevator for you because only a licensed elevator operator can operate the elevators until the state has certified them for free. And that costs a lot of money. So we'll give you 2 hours for every week that we're on here. Well, now there's a dispute about how many weeks they've been on here. Oh. So I went back to the dailies and counted every week. And they've been on here for 30 weeks.
So it's a daily log.
It's a daily log. Mm-hmm. And we turn it in weekly, and then it
turn it into who?
We turn it into our safety guy, who, if there's any safety for Christmas.
Okay. Now, when somebody enters the site right now, they see a lot of big safety signs, and it emphasizes MyOSHA and something special.
Their special thing is that MyOSHA, which is the Michigan Occupational Safety and Hazard, has partnered with Chrisman on this job particularly to make it a showcase.
Okay.
Because again, we encountered so many different safety issues. Think of all the safety things that you can think of, and we've had accidents, nothing serious. The most serious one, a guy was cutting with a concrete saw and a piece of the blade blew off and cut his leg.
Okay.
And that's the most serious. But still, there's the opportunity for any kind of accident you can think of, really.
Maybe
drowning. I mean, I'm not sure anybody can drown.
Not only accidents. I remember walking through here a few days ago, and it was kind of a cloud of white dust.
Yes.
What was that about?
There's one of two things. Either they were spraying paint, and you were getting the after effect of that. Some of the chairs over there will show you that, where you've got that little fine particle that comes down. Or they were sanding drywall. You will see that the drywall guys and the painters wear masks. We also, the most critical thing that we had early in the project and went on for months and months was asbestos abatement.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys looked like spacemen.
Uh-huh.
And they tented everything. Everything had this screen around it, and they had air that went in, and I mean, it was a very involved project to do all that. Very expensive also.
I think earlier today there was a paint or a lacquer smell in some parts of the building.
Yes, and that happens, and so you see the big exhaust fans in the hallway, and that's one of the reasons they're here. We know that we are going to be doing some what they call traffic control, which is an epoxy paint that goes on the floor, and the fumes in that are so bad that we can't do that when people occupy the building. So that will be scheduled to start Friday night, and it'll go Saturday and Sunday.
Now, is noise much of a problem in this kind of a site, or just a constant everything?
It's a constant everything. I'll tell you what's more annoying than noise. They do a tamping on the ground,
uh-huh.
and the earth moves.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's annoying.
Okay, a little unsettling.
Yeah.
Now, does Myosha do something different with this site because of this?
They have inspectors that come through at various times and monitor it. And Crispin also has someone who is a former employee of Myosha that comes through periodically, about every other month, maybe every 6 weeks.
Okay.
His name is Dick Kennedy, and he does a safety walkthrough.
Now, on a job this big, do you sort of figure there's going to be at least a few worker comp claims, or that's
no.
something you must try to
keep
down?
Crispin is very, very, very vigilant about that, and so far, superstition.
Uh-huh.
We haven't had any comp claims.
Okay.
So we've not had even the kid that cut his leg so badly came back to work the next day.
Well, but not because you forced him.
No.
No.
That was
he
just,
was just not hurt
just
that bad.
He was not hurt that bad.
Okay. Now, you're a female on this job, and most of the workers and most of the foremen are men.
All of them.
All of them are. Okay. In fact, the only other females I've seen maybe were here looking at interior decorating issues that are coming up in
Lisa.
The future.
Lisa is our Michigan State rep.
Okay.
And so what Lisa and I have in common is that Port-a-John out there.
Okay.
On it. In answer to whatever, maybe what you're getting to, I find no discrimination whatsoever. No, they don't make fun of me. There's nobody that sexually harasses me,
uh-huh.
or there's nothing like that. If I were younger, that's a possibility.
Uh-huh.
I think that
it would be tough for a 25-year-old female.
I think it would be tough
uh-huh.
for a 25-year-old female.
No. Is it just there are not any women in any of these trades in mid-Michigan, or?
There aren't a lot of women. I've seen no women plumbers. I've only seen one woman carpenter. I've seen a couple women painters, a couple women drywallers. It's a man's world.
Mm.
Crispin does have project engineers as well as project managers that are women,
okay.
but not a lot, maybe five
okay.
in the whole company. Out of a group of 130 or so that's in this Lansing area. In the administrative positions, it's mostly women, although in the accounting positions right now, it's mostly men. So that
okay.
just is the way it is. I think it's because it's a physical and it's dirty. You know, the gal that came today said, well, I was told I needed to wear steel-toed shoes and all this
uh-huh.
kind of stuff. I said, not now anymore. Mostly it's just dirty.
Uh-huh.
That's the big thing.
For someone who wasn't familiar, could you give a sense of what the average salaries or rates of pay or the kind of range for some of the kinds of work that's being done here?
I don't think that there's anybody here who wouldn't make at least $15 an hour, and that's because this is prevailing wage and this is union wage, and laborers, I don't think there are any laborers that make much less than that.
And that's the lowest.
And that would be the lowest.
And what's the highest?
The highest would be the electricians and the mechanical guys, and they're easily in the $40 an hour range. So
now, that's pay or that's including benefits?
That's their hourly rate.
Okay. So in addition, just payment going in for pension and welfare benefits?
Right, right.
Okay.
So they are paid extremely well.
So?
If they get overtime for anything over 40 hours.
Do you have much of that go on here?
We have a lot of overtime.
Do you?
This was a very compressed project. We've done a huge, we've done in dollar value what normally would be about a 20-month. We've done it, or will have done it, in 14 months, and then the rest of it will finish out and will be more leisurely.
Okay. There's obviously lots more I could ask you about, but maybe we could do that another time, if that's fine with you.
We can do that. Yeah, that's fine.
Are there any other major things that you wanted to talk about right now, or?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Maybe you could give me a list. I think it would be helpful if you give me the name of the union leader that you mentioned.
Got it.
But also, that the dean of the college was thinking it might be interesting to look for a half dozen to 10 workers to interview.
And
not maybe even this lengthy, but maybe some of the different trades or
right.
some whatever you would think would be, and if you kind of come up with a list.
And I think that would be really fun
okay.
to do.
Because we have pictures of some of these people doing work, and
okay.
it might be interesting to have some of their
okay.
voices
if you've
about
got
it.
Pictures that I can look at, I can identify them.
Okay.
If not, I can tell you some of the people. The painter, for example, is just a laid-back guy, and he would be a fun guy, I think, to talk to. But there are others,
well,
too.
Maybe if you came up with your list of whatever, half dozen or ten, and,
right.
and meanwhile I'll ask Steve
right.
or David Cooper with
what
pictures.
Would be kind of neat for you to do also, and this is something that you will need to do before August the 10th, because Chris, the young man that you see coming in and out of here, is our intern, and he's actually a student at Michigan State,
okay.
and he's spent a good part of his time here. So
okay.
And then Lisa and Jeff White, although not now because he's going crazy right now, but
uh-huh.
there's a number
okay.
of guys that would be interesting.
Well, maybe I'll touch back with you on that
yeah.
part in
yeah.
a week and a half when I'm back.
Yeah, this is an exciting, not everybody is excited about it as I am.
Uh-huh.
That's because I have such a personal, there's two things about it. My son lived here. And so it's deja vu. And the other thing is, I have this great sense of the history of all
uh-huh.
the whole thing. But in their own way, they're all excited, and they're all very proud of the fact that they've worked on this. And
mm-hmm.
so it's been a team.
Well, there's some very nice aspects of the old building in terms of the woodwork and mm-hmm. and the way that the building looks.
Right.
And sort of how you're incorporating the new construction into
right.
that is fascinating.
Right. Right. It's very neat when you take someone and you say, okay, now you're going from the old to the new, and they can't, that transition, except for the fact
mm-hmm.
that they can see that it's all new, but they don't, it doesn't look all that new. And when you go out and you look at the front and you see the gutters and you see the slate and you see the brick,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the original stuff.
Right.
So.
And that's the part of it that's, restoration.
That's the part
work.
Of it that's restoration. They took the slate off the building when they demoed it and they stockpiled it.
Probably be useful to maybe have a name for someone with the restoration to that.
You know, the guy that you really should have talked to has retired.
Oh.
His name is Rick Root. I don't know whether we could get him to talk to you. He was a kind of eccentric guy. And the roofers that actually did the installation, they don't have any teeth, so I don't know if they could talk to you.
Uh-huh.
They were pretty good, though.
Oh, we can think about it.
Yeah, okay, I'll think
that,
about it.
Because that is kind of a different twist on the job,
yeah.
too.
Okay. It'd be interesting also if you, and you probably have to do it by phone, if you talk to the architect.
Okay.
They were here Thursday, and
uh-huh.
they were telling me that they love the idea that when you stand in the middle there, you can see north and you can see south, and they did that on purpose.
Okay.
You know, that when you stand in the middle, you can see east and west through Siren Cliffs, because there's an unobstructed, when the doors are open,
mm-hmm.
you can see straight through. And then when you stand, you can see this way too, north and south. They did that deliberately.
Great. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you very much.
All right. Let me get you. This is our union.
Yeah.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
We have a separate day of
cleaners
that we call
oh.
the
And these are all the signing things.
Oh, wow.
And here is... Here is the letter that says that we take the notes.
Okay. Okay, that'd be helpful. This is the local guide, 4/19/19, in case you're very fascinated, okay?
You know, we take it very, very seriously.
Uh-huh.
Very seriously. But when you tell people about taking it, they look at you.
That sounds silly. Sounds challenging.
No, it's a huge challenge. And the gates can be right next to each other, and yet you can't go through it on the side. In this particular situation, in my opinion, the union did more harm to themselves when they did this than they did to all these guys in the workplace who were inconvenienced by this.
Now, this was the laborers from Ann Arbor. Now, maybe just explain that to me. I assume all of these locals are part of a master contract with a general contractor? Or these all separate contracts with...
They're all separate contracts.
Okay.
And I was going to see if I could...
Contracts to Chrisman or contracts with...
Chrisman is not signatory to any of... Chrisman's got a labor... CCI is.
Uh-huh.
But Chrisman is not.
Okay.
And with the university, he's got, I don't know, but see, the university must have some because they couldn't strike Ellis because the university hired Ellis.
Okay, so the contracts with the university. So I probably should talk to somebody in labor relations, in HR.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because that was why I can give you a list. Here, this is my little... We had the roofers.
Uh-huh.
We had the painters and drywallers, the plasterers, the plumbers. Bricklayers, carpenters. See, our carpenter's local.
Lansing.
Is Lansing. So, this really came out of the blue. We had, and it so came out of the blue. Normally there's listers. And they, somebody, Now, the good part for us, which I probably should tell you, but it does work now, because we thought this was going to happen to us back in the year before in July.
With this other party in the I thought the A and B gate things came up awful quick for that.
I believe it would be my recommendation on a big job that you have any suspicion that you make those flying in right now. Because otherwise you can take me out for a year. And that's the intent.
And you had those up the next day? Or
we had them up that afternoon.
On Thursday. So.
Yep, it's all part of a silly...
How much of your of Chrisman's work is union contract versus not?
A lot. In the Lansing area, in the Grand Rapids area, a lot very much.
Okay, and those are the two big cities for Chrisman?
Well, Chrisman's all over. They're in northern Michigan.
Okay.
We did Ogdelsie.
Are those non-union areas or kind of in between?
Yeah, they're kind of in between.
Grand Rapids is the no union, Lansing's the highly union, and the others are in between. You don't get Detroit or
Yeah, we're doing the Detroit College of Law, so I would imagine that would be very union. And I don't know. Hi. Do you need me to come get you? Okay. All right. I will be leaving here in about maybe 6 or 7 minutes. 6 or 7 minutes? Is that okay? Oh. Yeah, fine. I know. Oh, okay. I'll call you when I'm on the way. Okay, bye. we do an awful lot of union stuff mm-hmm. in this area. So all the stuff that I've done has been very union. Uh-huh. Auto owners. But see, when there's a big difference, like in this particular situation here, between the in the fire protection, which is the sprinkler guy.
Right.
There was $60,000 difference between the union guy and the non-union guy.
Wow.
So Michigan State said, why would we not say $60,000?
Uh-huh. Now, in Grand Rapids, where it's non-union, how much different are the wages there?
I think they still have to be, when they use public money, they still have to be prevailing wage.
So it's really the benefits. It's the paying into the pension and the welfare that's
really
the difference.
Think that makes the difference.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Thank you.
Yep.